Megan, thanks for joining us, and the virtual floor is yours.
All right, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I was all prepared to drive down to Pennyrail today, but then Jason told me you moved virtual because there's a construction project going on in the office, and I said, great, because it's a busy week and in a busy time for us. So I will share my screen and go through my presentation. So I'll give you a kind of a summary of where we are on our broadband deployment programs. Can everybody see that? I'm on a different screen now, so I can't see my Zoom screen. So the office was established during the 2022 General Assembly to administer broadband deployment funding in the Commonwealth. We are the central broadband planning and coordination entity for the state of Kentucky. So that legislation established Kentucky's broadband deployment priorities. The first priority was to the no service locations having slower than 10 megabits down and 1 megabit upload speeds. So that's really the critically unserved areas. And then the under 25.3 locations were the next priority, and then followed by the underserved areas, which we really haven't started to address yet with the funding that we've distributed. The statute also set a higher priority and state grant sh funding share for unserved areas that were less dense, and we saw a lot of applicants in that second round of funding request, up to the 70% grant funding for those locations, projects that there's no other public funding available for. And then a preference for gig symmetrical speeds with a 100 megabit symmetrical minimum. So we're about 1 year into the Office of Broadband Development. I started in September of 2022. So we've been working on stakeholder engagement, managing the first round of grants that were distributed in the summer of 22, getting the second round out the door. We have a pole replacement grant that opened up in September of 2022 for utility pole replacement for unserved areas, getting the website up, and then working on building the capacity of the office through hiring staff and contracting with the consultants. We were awarded our BEAD initial planning funds. That was $5 million that the NTIA awarded us to go through the planning process for the BEAD program, which we're neck deep in right now. We had our capital projects fund plan approved. That's $182 million for deployment projects. That's the majority of the funding that we distributed in September. We challenged the FCC map. We challenged just over 15,000 locations, disputing the availability of broadband service at those locations in order to increase the amount of funding that we were eligible for for BEAD. And we were successful in winning over almost all of those challenges. So that really helped us, achieve the maximum amount of funding that we were eligible for. We have a statewide broadband map available on our website. We have completed our 5-year action plan for BEAD, and we are in the initial proposal stage right now. We've got volume 2 out for public comment until December 4th. So the Better Internet Program grants, these are the ones that we awarded in September. These were prioritizing the no service locations with the 100 by 100 symmetrical speeds, last mile fiber projects, and having to be operational by the end of 2026. This is kind of overall the landscape. The first round announced in June 22, that was about $90 million for 47 projects around the state for 34,000 new locations. The pole replacement funding is open. We just started distributing some of that money, but we still got the bulk of the $20 million available. And then the capital projects fund money that was distributed in September, awarded in September 56 projects for 42,000 new locations on the for the no service priority. And then we are working on getting the BEAD funding ready to be distributed. So that was our allocation was announced in June. And in Penny Ryle, we've made several awards for broadband projects. There were in the first round, there was Caldwell County, three projects in Christian County, one in Lyon, one in Todd, and one in Trigg, and that was all Penny Ryle Rural Electric Cooperative. We've been working with them on getting these projects ready to go to construction. In the second round, we had more projects awarded, Caldwell County, Christian County, Hopkins County, Logan, Lyon, two projects in Muhlenberg, one in Todd, and one in Trigg. So we had good participation from Penny Ryle providers on getting broadband service to your residents. I know there's still more work to do, and hopefully we will get there in the BEAD funding. So we have $1.1 billion coming for the BEAD program, and that was a really good number for us. We were hoping to be above $1 billion, and we made it over that threshold. So we are hoping to be able to reach everybody with that. Nationwide, it's a $42 billion project program, and every state was guaranteed $100 million. And the remainder was to be distributed through a formula based on the number of unserved and high-cost locations in each state. And now I was really surprised looking at the areas that were determined to be high-cost locations in Kentucky. I was thinking they would be in eastern Kentucky, but actually it was mostly the area between Lake Barkley and Kentucky Lake. The land between the lakes was basically the high cost area in Kentucky. But we did get the 15th largest allocation in the nation, so we were pretty happy about that. So our planning funds were awarded last year. Our allocation was announced in June. We submitted our five-year action plan in August, and we're working on our initial proposal right now. We've got one part, the challenge process part, volume one, has been out for public comment and completed that, and we're working on the revisions before we can submit it. And then the grant plan, which is volume two, is out for public comment right now. And so once we get this approved, we will have to identify all of our subrecipients within 1 year. So we'll have 1 year to go through a competitive grant process to allocate all $1.1 billion to get all Kentucky residents served. So during the planning process for the five-year action plan, we went around the state. We did the listening tour in alignment with the digital equity plan with the Education and Labor Cabinet. We were out at Penny Ryle, I think, in February last year. We traveled around the state in February and March. And then we have also been meeting with stakeholders and from industry, workforce development, healthcare, and state and local government since all throughout this on a daily basis. So every state has to determine how and where the BEAD funds will be used. And while fiber optic internet is our priority, we have to determine, you know, at what dollar figure we will start to look at other technologies to reach people. And this is important for areas where there might be one house is going to cost several hundred thousand dollars to reach. That might be a case for an alternate technology rather than building to one customer and spending that much money. So we will have a competitive process to distribute the funds, and we have to describe how all of this is going to be done in our initial proposal by the end of December. And we've got that out on our website if you wanted to read through that. So in addition to the federal funds that I've talked about that come through the office, there are other federal programs that are active in broadband right now. The FCC's RDOF program, the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, is one that is going through a lot of construction right now. And that will take a lot of the unserved locations statewide kind of out of the contention for BEAD. There are a lot of areas in the state that have commitments in those areas to be built out by the end of 2030 through the RDOF program. the USDA Rural Development Programs like ReConnect and Community Connect have also made really big strides in covering some of the very rural projects, I think mostly in Eastern Kentucky, although some of the telephone cooperatives in the western part of the state have participated in those programs. And then ARC and the DRA also have some funding available for broadband, not as much as the other federal programs, but those are sometimes used as matching funds for projects, as well as your local ARPA funds. And we saw a lot of projects have participation from fiscal courts with ARPA funds being contributed to grant programs. So through the IIJA, in addition to the BEAD funding, there were an additional $88 million of funding put into Kentucky for broadband deployment. So there's a lot going on on that front. And, we're seeing a lot of those projects start to go to construction, and I get calls on them a lot. And sometimes I have to make a couple phone calls myself to determine, who the funding agency is and who that project belongs to, because sometimes it's not us. Here's my contact information. I would encourage you to reach out if you've got any questions. We would like to see a lot of participation from the local governments on our state challenge process, when we will look at the maps and make sure that we haven't determined an area to be ineligible for grants when there's not either a commitment to build there or service there or a grant available for that area already. So we just want to make sure that we don't miss anybody, and we will need input from you all to do that. So that is all I have. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer your questions right now.
Are there any questions for Megan?
Hey, Megan, this is Judge Whitfield.
Yes.
Looking at some of the numbers on the grants and the houses served, seemed like they were way just all over the place. Hopkins County was almost $10 million for just 333 houses.
That might have been wrong, actually. That you say that. Is that?
I hope so, because I saw some others were $5 million and were 800.
Yeah, I was trying to let me look at that and see what that actually is, because that doesn't sound right to me either. Now that you say that, might have just not change that number.
Because I think Spectrum tends to be one of the highest cost providers to actually get the service to people. So,
yeah, and we did see, see the awards kind of come in all over the place, and it really did depend on the density of the projects. Hopkins County project. It's 817 locations, which is still, not a huge amount for $10 million, but that what I suspect happened there is that they had a number of locations that were eliminated during the challenge process, but it still doesn't mean that they don't have to build the same number of miles of fiber to get to customers. So that might, work out in some areas where there's another provider that is available for customers to get service from. So the density really, really depends sometimes.
Yeah, Megan, this is Judge Newcomb, Crittenden County. When you say density, are you speaking of units served per mile, or
yes.
How? Okay. So there again, in these rural, extreme need areas that obviously do not have the density but have an extreme need, and the cost per unit served is much less than what's being awarded, it's kind of a hard pill to swallow to figure out exactly what's going on.
Yes. I think, the rules that the legislature passed related to the broadband priorities, usually you would incentivize a project that you're getting the most bang for your buck, but realizing that there's a market issue that they're trying to correct with these funds, in that if without a subsidy they're unlikely to ever happen. That's why they kind of put that opposite. They put, you know, give more money to the projects that are harder to serve.
One other question I had on one of the slides, it said where no other public funds are available.
Yes.
I had planned on doing a county grant for about $2 million just for broadband.
Mm-hmm.
Will that knock us out of the state funding? Because then that means public funds are available.
That will not, Matt, knock you out because there's a required match available. Is that what are you talking about, doing matching funds for a project?
No, I will actually look at, if I give somebody $2 million, what company is going to get to the most households that are unserved?
Okay. So that would mean that if you put that out for an RFP and somebody submitted a plan and included those addresses in that proposal, that would knock it out of contention for the federal grants. Unless it was meant to be the match for a grant program.
That would knock that area out, or
yes, that area would
as
be
long knocked. I don't care if it's if that area is knocked out, as long as they get served.
Right. Yeah. It would restrict, you know, that would be considered an enforceable commitment, which is, you know, could be a private or public funding commitment to a specific area. But, you know, I would just encourage you to make sure that you're explicit in what is covered in that program and not make it vague, because the vaguer it is, the more likely it could be contested, or, you know, cause a problem and eliminate things from consideration. We want to make sure that doesn't happen. We want to make sure that, you know, every unserved customer, we know who they are or where they are, and, you know, make sure that we've identified areas where there's service coming. It's just not there right now.
Yeah. And I guess we would depend on your maps to determine those unserved areas. And then once they hooked up however many households, we'd update you with that information.
Yeah.
Jason probably needs internet.
Yes. You are exactly right. Megan, just one question
sure.
that I have, and I know I have always, and I know I think most folks have always considered the quote satellite opportunities for broadband has really not been, you know, provided the appropriate type service to say that an area is served. However, I know that we're having some of like the Elon Musk, Starlink, those type programs are coming in, but they're very expensive. How does that impact the mapping when you have that going on?
So satellite up to now is not considered reliable internet service. So any area that is shown on the national broadband map is only having satellite or unlicensed fixed wireless is still eligible for BEAD funding. And so, but that being said, there might be, you know, like limited cases where we have to look at some of those solutions where there's no other takers, you know, from a fiber or licensed or coax provider to come in and serve them, that we would have to look at an unlicensed fixed wireless or satellite solution, but they would still have to meet the same, 100 over 20 minimum technology, you know, that would be the lowest speed that they would be able to provide. The latency would have to meet the requirements. So, you know, it's holding them to a higher standard than they're probably used to being held to right now. Starlink has kind of come to the table with some of the answers to these questions, because one of the issues that everyone has had nationwide with them is there's waiting lists. And so, you know, as a state office, when they're talking about participating in this program, I want to know how, you know, we can move our people to the front of the list, and that what they've proposed, and they're still working out some of the details, is that they would come in and set up a site where Kentucky people who have been, you know, identified as the locations where this is the solution that we've chosen could go in and apply and kind of circumvent the waiting list process, and that and that's and then potentially doing some you know, the state would underwrite the cost of the installation and potentially some of the rates that are required to be paid for the monthly service, because it is an expensive solution.
That's really good to hear, because I know on the Starlink side of things, you know, it's something we've been looking into, and I know that it's, I think the initial fee for the installation is $600. I know that's not something that's feasible for a lot of our citizens, but it sounds like if there's an opportunity maybe in the future that you could utilize some of these funds to assist with that's
good. Yeah, so that's definitely something we are going to consider, because there are going to be locations where that's going to be the best use of public funds.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? All right. Well, thank you, Megan, for being with us today.
All right.